Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday was, what would you like to have? What would you like to do? What would you like to be? Record and listen.
Oh. Deep questions.
Great questions. So here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jen in Rhinebeck.
Oh, hello, Jen.
Hey, Jen.
I'm happy to be here.
Me too. Happy we're all here.
Yes. And I thought this was a really interesting assignment, and I don't know if it's hard to talk about without going to the next question, which is today's question, because I've already working on that one. But what I basically saw is that what happened when I answered the questions was that I answered with kind of answers that were kind of content oriented. Like I want to have like things, I want to do specific things, I want to be a certain way kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And as I was recording about it, I thought, oh, this is interesting, because I guess I just was able to see this mixing up of content and how it's really easy for me to believe conditioned stories about not being able to have particular content.
Uh-huh. And what that means.
And what that means, and as opposed to processes, like I feel like because of practice, I've been able to see that I can access, like I can move into process much more easily than I used to be able to. So it's like, oh, if I want love, I can be in love in any second. I know how to get there.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But it's like if I want a partner or a house, there's like, you know, for, I can't just make that happen in a second, you know? So that feels much more tangly, like all the concept stuff, whereas the process stuff is like, oh, if I want him, if I want peace, I want all of those things we talk about, I can get there really fast. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, when you said that, Jen, now this is one of those places where content people will roll their eyes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I would suggest that you can have the experience of having a partner or a house anytime you turn your attention to that. Because that's your experience, whether there is another person sharing your life or whether you're in a house that there's a piece of paper that says you own this.
Yeah, I did see that too, because often when I think about relationships, you know, I've come back to this, that really I can get everything I need for myself. And I think that's often why I'm not in a relationship anymore, you know, that it just, I just kind of, I don't need it, you know, so.
Well, you're not, try this one on for size. You're not willing to trade what you know you would have to give up.
Yes.
In order to have that, it's awful to talk about people this way, but that piece of content in your life.
Exactly. Well, and that is very true and clear about owning a home, because, you know, like as a single person to do that, I'd have to work a lot more hours. And one of the other things that I like on my list is to not be at the computer so much. So in order to have that house, I'd have to work a whole lot more, you know, and it just goes in a circle.
And the other piece that people don't aren't allowed to think about or consider in the same way is, so the conditioned image is, I'll buy the perfect house, and then we will live happily ever after.
Right,
but actually,
of course, the
plumbing goes out, and the electricity goes bad, and the roof goes, and the, it's just, I think the most helpful thing in what you're sharing with us this morning is the idealized image that conditioned mm-hmm. mind wants to present to us that has nothing to do with our actual life experience.
Yes, yes. And what I've seen too often when I come up against these questions is like these answers are kind of half-hearted at this point because there's a bigger sense of like, well, I'd like to do whatever life asks me to do.
Yes.
You know, that's really, you know, it's like, I think I'd like to have a house and a partner and this particular business and, you know, I want to travel more and all of that. But it's like, I don't really know. So far, every time I thought I'd want to do something, usually life has a slightly different idea. Sometimes it's a radically different idea. And I've always been happy with what happens.
Yes. Yes. Which is
if
really
not initially. Yes. Yeah, if not initially, then eventually. You know?
Yes. So, what do I want to do and be and have? Mm-hmm. Whatever is assisting me to awaken and end suffering.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was referring back to the top, picking our top three that you were talking about yesterday. Like, that's my top one. You know, number one, practice and ending suffering. Is the most important thing. So, So it's like the answers to these questions are, well, whatever makes that happen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Yeah. Thank you for sliding that in. Yeah, because I really, that one I was more curious about than many. So, thank you so much.
Interesting process, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you again.
All right. Thanks, Jen. That was such a clarifying conversation, right, Sherry? Because what it points to is that what conditioning always wants to do is to focus us on the content. So I want a house, mm-hmm. I want the partner. And what we're always looking at from life is the process of mm-hmm. love or compassion. Because what conditioning doesn't say is, well, the longing is if I have the house, then I have whatever. If I have the partner, I have love. But if you're not in the process of love, it doesn't matter if you have the partner, you're not going to have the experience that is being pointed to by the acquisition of the content.
Yeah. Yes.
And therefore and we start in suffering.
Yeah, we're stuck in suffering because what a fast way to get to disappointment anger and resentment and bitterness and frustration. So I have all that. I have all that. And I'm really unhappy.
Yes.
Because my partner doesn't want to travel and doesn't want to take care of the house and doesn't enjoy being here and the house
is
falling apart. Yeah. But if we go for the process, then we're never disappointed.
Yes, because I project that when we get the partner or get the house or whatever else, what we don't have is the ability to be with how it is.
Yes,
and still be in the process of love or process of security or process of whatever it is that is promised with the acquisition of the content. And so it just compounds the suffering. Now there's the opening to go, there's something wrong with you because you got the house you wanted and the partner that you wanted, and you still are not happy.
Yeah.
And there's a way in which we never catch on that it's not the thing, it's the how, and they're
mm-hmm.
not related.
Right. Right, yes. And so what we're certainly not saying, and I don't think the Buddha was saying this either. I don't think Jesus was saying this either. It's not that you can't have those things. You certainly can. It's just don't be confused that those are going to give you what you actually want, which is satisfaction and peace and joy and compassion and kindness and love and connection. It's not going to work that way. Now, once you're already living in love, then whatever life brings you, enjoy it.
That's right. And that's what I think Jen was pointing us to. Eventually, our what we want, whatever we want is to be able to live a process perspective of life rather than a content perspective of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we have the facility and skill to do that, then the content becomes slightly more irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the perspective of acquisition, as you're pointing out, that we could have a partner and a house, but that we can actually have it And the experience of what we project it will bring is the experience that we can actually have with it.
Mm-hmm. We can receive it.
Yes.
Which is the have in large letters that you're pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Here's our next caller on the heels of that very, very powerful conversation. Here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna calling from Seattle.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. You sound great. What are you seeing?
All right, great. Well, I just did the assignment this morning. So procrastination a little bit.
A little bit. Process. Yeah, let's underline the a little bit, right? That's not exactly
a hanging crime, is it?
No. So what would you like to have? Well, for me, it's in that sense, it's quite sometimes a little bit harder to just see the content. What do I want to have? Like, I don't know if it's, well, I just go directly to, you know, light and love, abundance.
Oh, okay. You go to a process place.
I guess, but ego tells me, oh, there's something wrong because I can't think more detailed about what it would mean directly, what I want.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're not good at noodling. And so conditioned mind wants you to get better at noodling. Spend more time going over now what would that and when and how would that be and you don't have that and well that's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a great skill not to have, huh?
Well, it's a visualizing or something that comes really hard. It's hard for me to do. Yeah.
Good. Lucky you.
I don't know.
Yeah, because the thing that leaves you with is where you are. If you can't visualize something else, then that leaves you here. Talk about a blessing.
Mm-hmm. But it can feel kind of stagnant, you know, a little bit because, I don't know, because I do listen to it. Ego.
Yeah. That's right. There you go.
What's wrong with it?
Yes.
But yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. So you got to appreciate this for just a second here. So much of the world is trying. Well, not much, but some of us are trying to be present. Right. And you seem to lack the skill not to be. Right. And then you get told that being here is stagnant, that your life is somehow less because you can't imagine being somewhere else. Can you see the insanity of that? Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. It gets really hard when somebody asks me, how have you been? And then ego really gets a great feast because every time in the interaction, it's really hard. I mean, because I can't remember in that moment, you know, what have I done all day or yesterday or I can't.
Well, how about this? How about this? How about if you create a little elevator speech for yourself? You know what an elevator speech is?
Okay. I think about that.
Yeah, and it's something along the... Go ahead.
I was procrastinating. Yeah. No,
okay.
Please go ahead.
Well, it's something along the lines of, you know, this and that, mostly just enjoying my life.
Yeah, that'll be great, yes. So simple.
Yeah,
and
so
I
simple.
I have to remember.
Right. It's easy. I mean, I just watched a bird come down and land in the bird bath.
Now, if I, you know, I mean, I can tell all of you people that, and you go, oh, that's nice. But for a lot of people, that's not significant. Okay? For me, it's the most significant thing I can do. I'm right here when this extraordinarily beautiful creature comes and lands and starts having a bath. I could not be happier. Talking to all of you, hearing about what you're up to, and watching this beautiful nature there. How have you been? Well, what have you been
up to? I'm going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to write a little speech, yeah. That won't put
and
me any time to a weird situation.
That's right. And it's true, right? It's absolutely true. You can make recordings about the things that you've seen. Oh, my gosh, I saw these geraniums, you know? Geraniums.
I'm looking
kind
at them
of...
right now. Pink
and geraniums. They're beautiful, aren't they?
At my basement window, yeah.
Yeah, such simple little flowers, and they're so beautiful. Yeah, there you go. good job, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you,
well,
Anna.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Anna. The irony is almost absurd, right, Sherry, that when you're present, it's going to make presence as something wrong.
Right.
Whatever the content is, it's able to make it wrong. I mean, that's just simply what we are left with.
Yeah, that's what it does. And if we get fooled into spending our lives trying to find something that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is going to approve of, my gosh, what an unhappy little slog that's going to be.
Yes. And the thing that dropped in for me in that conversation is that sometimes it takes a different training different muscles to enjoy the nuance of being here. That if we're listening to what's wrong with here, however subtly it's doing that, even if it's basically negating the ability to be present, then not listening to that is one aspect of our practice. And redirecting the attention to here and training how to be here in a way that's not, within quote, stagnant, you know, the registering of the leaves and the beauty of the bird and the warmth of the sun and all of that is a capacity of awareness that we have naturally, but requires us to learn to pay attention to it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, because the voices are going to come in with, yeah, but what are you doing with your life?
Yes, well, exactly.
I'm enjoying it. That's what I'm doing. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, but what are you accomplishing? I'm enjoying my life.
Enjoyment.
If I accomplished everything in the world, would I want something out of that other than enjoying my life?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
But that,
it's that confusion again.
Yeah.
Yes. That confusion between content and process, because we're so in the groove of looking at the content that we can actually live in process, know we're living in process, and just enjoy the process of that. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, look at that. I got on again. This is Therese.
Isn't it the
funniest thing that I was just sort of fiddling with something and I thought, oh, I better be quiet so I can hear in case I get on. Whoa.
Intuition is alive and well.
Isn't that incredible? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
just before we go on, when we talk about being here, so that we can hear the guidance from the intelligence animating us, that is a very clear example of that. And that's happening with us all the time, and we are trained to miss it often enough that when it happens, it seems really kind of startling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that kind of relates to actually what I wanted to say then was about the listening piece. So I just bring up the guidance from last week? It's been so apparent that, you know, we talked about recording and listening and how the recording piece is really easy. And, of course, listening to it right after, but not listening again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like mm-hmm. that continual listening. So that's really what's been coming up for me is that listening piece. And that's exactly it. You just put it, like I just realized, okay, you know, I've been listening, but then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I got to just fiddle with something. And then I thought, oh, no, I got to listen. I have to listen. And there it is.
And there it is.
And that's been so, the still small voice.
Yeah, and that's the one.
Yes, and it's so incredible because then I sort of just, you know, kind of looked back at life and thought, wow, it's always been there. Even as a little kid, I was having memories of these sort of moments where I, you know, had a thought of something and then it happened. Then maybe I was present for it. I don't know what that is, but it's like life is always presenting itself. And when I'm truly present, there it is.
That's right. Because you are life. Life is you.
Right.
That's the secret that we're all trying to catch on to, that we are not separate from that. It is us-ing as it's everything else-ing. And so you come into being in the moment along with everything else.
Right. Right. And it is. It's just so then, of course, this bird, you know, I mean, it's so, because there it is. What else would there be? You know, it's like.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think the guy's name was Jonathan Edwards, but I'm not certain, who was a minister from a couple of centuries ago, who talked about us, everything, being thoughts in the mind of God. And when I read that, it just seemed so right. It's so obviously true. Mm-hmm. Because then we get a sense of the nothing separate from that. That it's a complete thought in each moment. And there's nothing left out of that. And everything is that thought, is that awareness, is that clarity, right? And so here we are. So, of course, when we're here, that everything is contained in that. So, of course, when you're present, which we have the ability not to be, that's how we lose sight of of this being one process. Then, as you come into being in that moment, what's with that awareness is you better pay attention, you better listen, because this could happen, and whoop, it happens.
Right. Wow. It is. It just feels very incredible. It's just like a
yes.
whoa.
Yes.
Oh.
It's a religious experience. Yeah.
It is, which is so funny. I'm kind of chuckling. And then I just have to tell you, you know, camp. So we had this conversation about kids off to camp and how they didn't want to go and the yada, yada. Like, there's so much contained in that experience, too, of just really listening and being present. So yesterday was the first day of a camp that my children just did not want to attend. And I listened in the morning to all of it. And then they went, and there it was. They just had, and all day long, and something on the call yesterday morning, too, was about being in the experience, or I can't even remember what it was, but just that we get to create our experience, right? That we do. We have a choice in every moment by listening and being present, that we create the experience no matter what the external is.
Yes.
And I just kept remembering that every time I kind of, that little Catholic guilt would come in around, oh, I just sent them off to something, and then I just stayed in my experience. Yeah, of course, because then I picked them up and they're, la, 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 let me just tell them about it. And, you know, and they were skipping to the car to go to camp today. And I just was laughing, like, of course. Yeah. Like, we couldn't get to camp soon enough, you know?
Yeah.
And I just love that. I love that whole thing because it was a reminder for me, too, of all those times where it's like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Oh, no, no, no. And then I see it for what it is. And then I'm doing it, and it's just this, you know, and how ego keeps me, of course, because I'll get talked out of doing all these things that are these incredible things, right, that are coming from the heart.
Precisely.
And then I get talked out of it.
Yep. Yep.
And then if I can share about the 10, remember how you were like, ooh, I wish someone would share about the 10 going down to 3? I kind of got excited that you said that because that was so fun. It felt freeing to not have 10 and only have 3, I have to tell you. Like there's something about that. There's something about, you know, how you just kind of, especially with kids too, you can't give them too many choices. So you give them between 2 and 3 choices and that's it. Pick this or this or maybe one more and that's it. And that's kind of the experience I had, was bringing it down to this. Like I just only, 3, it just felt really like kind and manageable. So I just wanted to share that too.
And freeing. Oh, that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. One of the things I enjoy most in life is watching ego be wrong, which is what you're describing with the kids in camp. You know, that all day long I can be, you know, it's trying to get me with a conversation about whatever, and then at the end of it, I get to realize it was wrong. None of that happened. Right. I don't need to do that. Well, thank you. Enjoy this day where you can know kids are having their own life experience.
Exactly. And that was the thing is I thought, I even prepped myself. Like, well, if it was a really hard day and whatever, like, that's okay too. Like, we're just going to be with whatever it was. And that's fine. And we're still going to wake up today and go to camp.
Right.
And tomorrow and all the way till Friday because they're going every day.
Yeah.
So thank you. Yay. Yay for listening and being present. Thank you. Go happy. Thanks, Ashwini.
Go happy.
Bye. Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Therese. Sherry, we have 2 more minutes. Shall we try to squeeze another caller in?
Oh, sure. What the heck?
Okay. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
2 minutes. Okay. I don't usually dial in, so I didn't expect to get on. But the knowing what you want.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm going to put that to the side for now. And I'm just going to express gratitude. Because there's like 24 thoughts trying to get out, and it's hard to kind of choose one. And I want to honor kind of the time period.
And so say a little bit about gratitude.
Okay. There's like several points in my monastery experience that have stood out really strongly. And one of them was kind of like sitting in the meditation hall, being completely caught up in a true or untrue story, and then all of a sudden hearing the birds.
Uh-huh.
And ever since then, I've used hearing the birds to know if I'm here or not here.
Uh-huh.
And I will stop and I will listen for the birds.
Uh-huh.
Pittsburgh.
Oh,
being
that's
a hill
beautiful.
City, there's a lot of trees, so there's a lot of birds here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's the time of year for that.
Mm-hmm. That's really great because when we're lost in conditioned mind, we don't
there are no
hear
birds.
The birds. Yeah, there are no
they don't
birds.
Exist.
Yeah. All that wonder and beauty and charm doesn't exist. And when we're here, then that's our life experience, that beauty.
Yes.
That is such a good point. Wow. There was a movie years ago called A Room with a View.
Yes.
You remember that movie? And one of my favorite pieces, places in it, you probably know where I'm going with this, right? When the
I actually watched it with Ladima at college. But there's a place with the dad.
Uh-huh. Where he touches his heart. And he said, here is where the birds sing.
Ha. I'd completely forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But
yeah,
that's what,
because I,
that's
I
what you're pointing
live
at.
2 feet from my body.
Uh-huh.
So what you're pointing at is that the birds are out in the trees, but they're in my body.
That's right. They're singing in your heart. And if you're not there, they're not singing.
Which is where I'm at right now with my practice, is trying to be in my body. And
uh-huh.
since, you know, I'm 52 years old and have never been in my body, it's not comfortable. It's not someplace I would like to be.
No, ego never wants to be in a body.
But
you know why?
That's where the birds are.
Yeah, that's right. That's where the birds sing. Ego never wants to be in a body because ego doesn't have a body. And so for
yes.
you to be in your body is extremely uncomfortable for ego.
Oh, because well,
it doesn't
yeah.
have a place there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, but yeah, and as my body is starting to dissolve, there's still a lot of life in it.
Yes.
That
yes.
has nothing to do with my muscles, my brain mass, my, you know, my voice.
Any of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you and the body and the birds, you want to enjoy this life.
Yeah, because, you know, time's a wasting.
That's right. That's right. Time is passing, and we don't want to miss a single moment of it. Yeah.
I want to have a long life.
Mm-hmm.
And
the best way to have a long life, as you know, is to be present. That's
yes.
the best way. A day that a day in which one is completely present is about 6 weeks long.
A day in which one person is present is about six weeks long. That is my experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When you're really
yes.
here for it. When you're really here for it. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, my dear.
God
I like the image that I have. I like the picture of you. God knows how close to your reality it is, but you there in all those trees listening to those birds. That's a nice picture. I appreciate that.
I am practicing.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's very good. All right. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks, Beth. You know, Sherry, I don't know why this relates, but the peace quote from this morning, I think it was this morning, the antidote to exhaustion is not rest, it's wholeheartedness. It's sort of the same thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's
yeah.
exactly the same thing. Yeah. Woo!
So
note,
our assignment
huh?
for today, mm-hmm. can you give yourself permission to have, do, and be those? The cardinalists, those pointing to what we wanted.
From yesterday.
Mm-hmm. From yesterday.
Uh-huh. Oh, very fun.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Go
Thanks,
happy.
Everyone. Treasure yourself.